turn to look into God's Word. God, it is so good to have your Word right here in our hands, to know, to be convinced that what you have preserved for us here is exactly what you want us to know. And God, we want to know it better. We want to understand it all the more. Not just so that we can quote it and say that we've read it or heard it, but Lord, that we would know it well enough to see what it means and how important it is for our daily lives right now today. So God, I ask for that. As we open your Word today, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Help us to recognize not only how true what you have to say is, but how important it is to our daily lives. God, we are so thankful to have the relationship with you that we do through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray now. Amen. Well, many of you were here last week and probably noticed our grandkids running around after the service. It was a great deal of fun to have our daughter and her two kids stay with us last weekend. They live probably about 3 hours away, so we don't get to see them all the time, but we certainly relish the opportunities we have to get together with them. You know, we do FaceTime and those sorts of things, but it's not a substitute for being there in person. They're just a lot of fun to have running around the house. And since we don't get to see them in person as regularly, when we do see them, you really notice how much they've grown and how much they've changed, especially when they're little. You know, all kinds of things change every time you see them. The kids are talking a lot now. They repeat almost everything they hear. They're like little parrots. You know, you say something and they will summarize the last two words of whatever it was that you said. I used to love playing games with my kids at that age. I was still working as a paramedic, and when Caitlin started parroting things, I would, you know, well, can you say dog? Can you say cat? Can you say hydrochlorothiazide? You know, just to see how much I could get out of her. But anyway, one of the cutest things that Caitlin shared with us about recently is how their bedtime prayers have been going. So each night, they, you know, get all ready for bed, and they sit down with mom in the chair, or dad, or whoever. You know, we got to pray with them, and just simple bedtime prayers. Okay, close your eyes, fold your hands, and recently it went something like this. Caitlin said, "Dear Jesus, thank you for a good day," and both of them said, "Good day." You know, please help us sleep well. Sleep well, you know, and have fun tomorrow. Morrow. Amen. Amen. You know, okay, this is great. I love that. It's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to. As a grandparent, especially as a parent, you want to see your kids grow. That's one of the things that you want to see. It's fun to watch them do more and talk more. And you want to see your kids grow physically, intellectually, emotionally. You hope to train your kids up and then, you know, turn them loose in the world to be responsible people that are well-developed and nurtured, good, independent adults. Now, some of our growth from childhood to adulthood takes place naturally, right? I mean, generally, if a person is healthy and there's no congenital problems, they're going to get taller, they're going to get stronger, they will grow physically into adulthood. But there's other areas of our growth that take some intentional training and focus. Generally, kids will grow intellectually. Yeah, they're going to learn things, but there's a training component that's involved there too. We need to teach kids as they grow. They must be instructed. Emotional growth and increasing independence, those are also things that require some work because it doesn't happen automatically. I mean, it happens, but to happen well, there's got to be some intention there. And I find that the same sort of thing is true for us spiritually. While some growth as a Christian, while some of that takes place naturally, there's some of it that we really have to give our attention to. We really have to invest and focus a bit more in order to grow in our relationship with God. That is to say, we don't become more mature believers simply because that moment which we chose to trust in Christ for our salvation and pray for his forgiveness, simply because that was years and years ago, that doesn't mean that, well, it's been decades. That doesn't mean that we are automatically a mature Christian because of the decades that have been between today and when I came to faith in Christ. There's some intentional investment that we need to make in learning how to grow as Christians. We need to commit ourselves to keep growing as Christians. It's a lifelong process. It's not something that God ever intended for us to, you know, pray and then to say, okay, I've got my eternal fire insurance, let me pull the lever on the spiritual lazy boy and I can just coast into heaven. No, we have to continue to strive to grow in our relationship with God. We're taking a few weeks right now to talk about our church's mission, or the church's mission, all churches. God calls us all to make disciples, to lead others to saving faith in Jesus Christ, to help them find a relationship with God, and then for all of us to keep growing in that relationship. As a church, our desire is to do that by loving and growing and serving. Those are the three things that we've kind of targeted as that's one of the best ways that we can do what God has called us to do: love, grow, and serve. And last week we talked about loving. We talked about loving vertically and horizontally. We talked about loving upward and outward. We love God and we love others inside and outside the church. This morning we're going to talk about growing. It is absolutely God's desire that his followers, his children, would continue to grow throughout their Christian lives. And believe it or not, even Jesus himself sets the example for us here in Scripture. If you were to look into Luke's gospel at the end of chapter 2, Luke says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So even our Savior experienced growth physically, emotionally, in favor with God and men. And in the same way, according to 2 Peter 3:18, we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's calling on us. We need to keep growing as Christians, as believers. And that growth that God wants us to continue to pursue takes place in those same two directions as love. We are to grow vertically and horizontally. We grow upward, we grow outward. We are to grow in a loving relationship with God, first and foremost, and grow in a loving relationship with others as well. So let's start with the upward aspect of growth. We need to be growing in a loving relationship with God. So backing focus out for a minute, how do you grow in a relationship with another person? Maybe it's your spouse or your family or friends or coworkers. How do you grow in that relationship with someone who is not yourself? Usually by spending time together. You spend time together, you do things together, you learn about that person, you talk with them. You get to know them. You seek to understand them. That same thing is true in our relationship with God. We need to do that. We need to spend time with him. We need to seek to understand him. And we do that through the study of his word. We need to listen to what he has to say to us. And probably the best ways for us to do that are through reading the Bible and through prayer. Talking with him and having him talk to us. It was D.L. Moody who acknowledged that in prayer, we talk to God. And in Bible study, God talks to us. This is God's word to us that we hold right here in our hands. We need to study God's word, seeking not only to just understand it, but again, to apply what we've learned to our daily lives. There's truth here that God wants to see impact the way we talk, the way we think, the things that we do. Paul says in Romans 15:4 that everything was written in the past, or everything that was written in the past, was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's why we have God's Word. That's one of the primary reasons God has had it written and preserved for us all these centuries, is so that we might learn from it. We might learn who God is and what He wants us to know. Now, at some level, it's not hard to study the Bible. I mean, if you can read, I suppose you can study the Bible, right? You keep reading it. And there's a great part of that that's true, but there's more to studying the Bible than just reading it. Just like even in school, there was a difference between just reading something and then really studying it as though you maybe were preparing for an exam. You might read it a little differently. Prayer, I think, is vital to our study of God's Word. When we read God's Word, you know what we should do first? Pray. Pray and ask God to help you rightly understand what you're about to read. Ask God to help you see things about your relationship with Him. Maybe something you didn't realize or haven't realized yet. Ask Him to help you grow in your faith and your relationship with Him. In addition to prayer, I might suggest four steps that we can take in our study of God's Word, which will help us grow. Four different things that kind of can help us as we seek to grow as followers of Christ. Concentration, repetition, comprehension, and reflection. Concentration, repetition, comprehension, and reflection. And let me just quickly touch on each of those. First, if we're going to seek to understand God's Word and really let it change our lives, then we need to be able to focus on what it says. That means we need to concentrate. We need to give good, focused, singular thought to what it is that we're actually reading and considering in God's Word. That means that we probably need to find a time and a place where you will be least hindered by distractions. We all know what that's like. You know, there's times you sit down and, you know, I'm just going to read a chapter of the Bible. And all of a sudden your mind, oh, you know what, I need to get that load of laundry in. Oh, I got to schedule the oil change. Oh, you know, I got to remember to tell my coworker. And suddenly it's just, there's so many things. I found it helpful sometimes to just keep a pad of paper and a pen or a pencil right next to me in those moments, because just scribble yourself a quick note and now you don't have to think about it anymore. It'll be there when you're done. You know, just you can kind of put that aside. But we need to try and find ways that we can be least hindered by distractions. We need to concentrate. Secondly, you'll often find that repetition helps with understanding. Don't be a one and done sort of person. May need to read something over and over again, a few different times in order to really get it. Maybe the first time you read a particular passage, you read it for understanding. Okay, what does it say? The second time, maybe for interpretation. Okay, so what does that mean? And then another time for evaluation. Okay, so what do I need to do in response to what I just read? You could pick a single passage and just say, you know what, I'm going to spend this week reading just that one passage, that set of verses or that one chapter of the Bible, whatever it is. And maybe the first day you just kind of read it through, quickly, but just, you know, in one setting, one go, you just read through to get the flow of the passage. Okay, what's happening? What's going on? Who's talking? Read it slowly the next day. Let the implications of it kind of wash over you. Okay, what's really going on here? Why would that apostle say that right now? Then read it again. And see about relating it to other passages of Scripture. Well, that's really interesting. So Paul said that. Did Peter say that as well? Spend some time really digging into it. And that leads to and helps with the third step, which is comprehension. As we study God's Word, you know, it is helpful to ask ourselves some questions to help with our comprehension of what it is that we're looking at. Some of it's just the basic who, what, where, when, why, how kind of stuff. Okay, so who is it that's speaking? To whom are they speaking? What is the setting? What is the situation that is behind what's going on at this point in the Bible? When did these things happen? And so on. And we just try and really get a fuller understanding and comprehension of what it is that's going on. And then finally, don't skip the last part. Take time for reflection. Take time to do more than just understand the words on the page, just what was written. Make sure that you take time to consider, okay, so how should that affect my life right now? Is there something that is demonstrated, a principle that shows up here that God intends for all of us to understand that principle, that way of living as a follower of Christ? How can I apply what I've read to make myself a better follower of Christ? Now, another part of growing in a loving relationship with God, again, is to seek then to apply what we've learned from His Word. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 in the New Testament there. You've got four of Paul's short letters there, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians is the last of that bunch. It'll be on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles there, 1063. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 6. And in these short couple of verses I want us to look at right now, Paul makes three points in three verses, kind of one point in each verse. Each of these things has to do with our growth as Christians, as believers, our growth in Christ. So let me invite you to follow along as I read Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." So three different points that Paul makes here, again, in this short three verses. The first of these verses suggests that we are to walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. We are saved by faith in Christ. So that means we need to walk by faith, trusting in the Lord. We are saved through His Word, reading and understanding what it means to seek salvation through faith in Christ. We are saved by the Word, so we need to walk according to the Word. We are saved through the work of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, helping to change us and redeem us and refine us. So that means we need to walk according to the Spirit. Christian life continues just the way it began. It begins by faith in Christ, through the reading of His Word and the indwelling of His Spirit, and that's the way it continues. We continue to walk in all of that. Next, in verse 7, Paul tells us that we need to grow up in Christ. And he kind of does the entire tree or the entire plant here, that first we need to have roots that dig down into the richness of God's Word. We need to have the right foundation here. We need to be rooted in God's Word. We need to have a strong foundation laid upon faith in God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And it's important that we be taught the Word of God, because we can be led astray by a lot of different things. We can be led astray by various contemporary world philosophies, the things that our culture believes or espouses or holds up as right and good, and oftentimes, a number of those things conflict with what God says is right and good. You know, there's a number of different religious systems out in the world, a number of different faiths, and some of those include a faith in Jesus Christ. But there's only one. It's only biblical Christianity that gives him the preeminent place. There's other faiths that mention Jesus. Oh, he was a good teacher or a prophet or God-like. But it's only true biblical Christianity that says, no, this is the way God tells us we should believe in Jesus Christ. And finally, in verse 8, Paul sounds the warning and calls us to make Christ the test. Basically, to test every religious system or thought that would come up out there and say, okay, does that put Christ first? Is the focus on Jesus? Because again, there's a lot that talk about Jesus, but he's not the focus. And you notice in this passage, there's nothing passive about our approach to the Christian life. We're called to do something with what it is that we know. We're called to continue on in it. We're called to grow in it. We're called to mature in our understanding. We're to use the instruction that we have received to hold fast to the truth that God has given us here in his word. And it's only as we become better students of God's word that we can more consistently identify false teachings. This is our filter right here. If something is out there going around, whether it's outside the church or even in the church, if there's something that's being taught or suggested and you say, no, that's not what the Bible says, well, then you are right to be suspicious of it. God's word needs to be our foundation here. Christians, we need to commit to keep growing, and first and foremost, we need to be growing in a loving relationship with God. We do that primarily through our times of prayer and study of God's word, where we receive what God wants us to know. That's how we grow in a loving relationship with the Lord. That's the upward part of our growth. Now let's talk about the outward part. We need to be growing in loving relationships with others. And when it comes to this horizontal aspect of both loving, as we looked at last week, and growing this week, it is, again, to occur both inside the church and outside of it. It's upward and outward. So let's consider those aspects of our growth individually. First, we need to grow in our relationship with others inside the church, inside the body of Christ, as we grow in Christ together. One naturally flows from the other. As we grow in a loving relationship with God, then we are able to grow in a loving relationship with God's children. We love God, we end up loving one another inside the body of Christ. And certainly that happens as we meet together and we learn and we apply God's word to our lives. But there's more to our relationship with one another than just that. We also grow as we worship together, as we fellowship with one another. It was just a couple of weeks ago that we took a Sunday and we looked at that topic of worship. What is it to worship God? And certainly we agreed it was that musical part of what we do together. That is worshiping God. We worship him in song. But it's also the times that we pray together and time that we spend in his word. It's times where we come together as a part of the body of Christ and we direct our focus to the Lord and direct our attention to him, our prayers to him, our songs to him. We seek to learn and receive from him. That is worshipful. We looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 that couple of weeks ago, that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So yeah, worship clearly involves singing. And we saw there that it was a twofold purpose. It was to praise God and to instruct one another. The idea there is that as we worship together, as we seek to do every time we gather, especially these times on Sunday, that as we worship together, we can grow in a loving relationship with one another. in the body of Christ, the church. And yet, another way in which we grow in a loving relationship with one another is through the fellowship that we enjoy as followers of Christ. Go ahead and turn over a few more pages towards the back of your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10:24, page 1087 there in your pew Bible, 1087. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And here again, there's three things that we can observe in now just these two short verses. First, God never intended us to live out our faith in isolation. We are not intended to live out our Christian faith as kind of Christian lone rangers all by ourselves. And secondly, fellowship must be seen as a gift from Christ. The fellowship that we get to enjoy in the body of Christ, in His church, that's a gift from our God. And third, others benefit from fellowshipping with us. It's a two-way street. So watch for those as I read verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, the first thing that I think we can grab here is that Christians are not intended to live out their faith in isolation. We stand a better chance of having healthy relationships with one another if we are seeking to have a healthy relationship with God. Jesus never intended that we should live out our lives in His kingdom in isolation from other believers. Matter of fact, I don't really think God provides grace for that except in some really, really unique circumstances. You know, you find yourself the only castaway on some remote island in the middle of the Pacific that nobody's ever heard of. You're the only person there. Okay, yeah, God may be able to give you grace to grow as a Christian all by yourself. Outside of that, I don't think God gives us the grace to grow by ourselves. I don't think God says, you know what, go ahead and just, you know, hide in your mother's basement and just don't go out, but I'll grow you as a Christian. I don't think it works that way. I think God designed for us to get together and to encourage one another. And I really think that these verses especially help us to see that. God has designed us to function and grow in grace in relationship with one another. He doesn't intend for us to go it alone. He intends for us to be in His church, which He founded. It's here in the church, not this church on this corner, but in God's church, in relationship with other Christians. It's here that we mature. It's here that we grow best. It's here that we live out the true life of Christ. It's here that God meets us in a very special way. And again, it's not to say that God can't or doesn't meet us in any other way. Certainly not. But this is the default setting. And that's where some, you know, you start talking about these things and someone will say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you are absolutely right. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's also true that you don't have to live in water to be a fish, but it helps. God intends fish to live in water. God intends Christians to live in fellowship with other Christians. That's God's design. The second thing we see in this passage is that fellowship is a gift from Christ. We have significant privileges in the new life that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. We enjoy encouragement from one another, as verse 24 suggests. We get to worship together, so it's not just one voice being lifted to the Lord. It's all the voices being lifted to the Lord. And then thirdly, others benefit from fellowship with us. To neglect Christian meetings is, you're giving up something. You're giving up the encouragement and help of other Christians, the prayers, the coming alongside. We gather to share our faith. We gather to strengthen one another and our trust in the Lord. Now, of course, there's things that can make it difficult for us to get to church sometimes, make it difficult for us to gather. Sometimes we just don't always feel our best. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you're sick. I get it. By the way, we live stream our service, so, you know, even if you're stuck at home, you can still join us remotely. But there's times where there's just a lot too much on our minds. We have other things that we need to do, projects that we are hoping to get done. Maybe if we're honest with ourselves, there's just sometimes I just don't want to go to church today. I just don't feel like it. I don't want to. Again, some of those things are quite naturally going to keep us from being able to come to fellowship. You're in the hospital, you can't come to church. You know, you're sick at home. I get it. Don't make everybody else sick. I understand. But some of the things, some of those difficulties that come up, that we just kind of use that as a quick eject button to say, yeah, I think I just won't go today. Well, we shouldn't do that. As difficulties arise, as things come up in your life, you know, I'm just really stressed. I don't know that I can really go and worship the Lord because I'm too stressed about what's going on. That's why you need to be here. This is exactly where you need to be when you're stressed. This is exactly where you need to be when you just don't know what to do, because this is where God has provided his people to come alongside you, to encourage you and to walk with you through it and to seek his will together. So we shouldn't let those difficulties keep us from church. We should probably let those difficulties drive us to our church family. We need this time with each other by God's design. Those are examples of ways in which we can grow in loving relationship with one another in the body of Christ. We do that through worship. We do that through fellowship. So again here, commit to keep growing as a Christian. The other side of the horizontal growth is that we need to look to develop good, loving relationships, not only with the folks in church, but with everyone outside of it as well. Last week we looked at the greatest commandment found in Mark's gospel, to love God with all we've got and to love others at least as well as we love ourselves. And we need to be loving towards other people. We need to be good neighbors. In Luke chapter 10, we have another view of the same account. A lawyer was talking to Jesus about the commandment to love God and love others. And in Luke 10, the lawyer's question to Jesus was, okay, yeah, but who is my neighbor? Who do we need to show love to? How far does that love need to extend? Am I only required to love God and the other people in my church, or do I really have to love other people outside of that group? Jesus' answer shows that we're to love others beyond the religious and cultural boundaries that we might think to erect. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 30, page 932 in the Pew Bibles there, 932. Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and take a look at how Jesus answered that question. Well, who is my neighbor? Verse 30, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw the man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came to him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put them on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands. And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." At some level, the Samaritan traveler had less of a reason to stop and help than the other two men who passed by beforehand in the parable here. And yet he did, clearly going beyond just the basics of assistance too. Love is to be more than just simply an emotional response to someone else. It needs to be practical, because love is a choice. It's a choice, it's an act of the will. It's a practical response to someone, especially when they are in need. So growing in love for the world around us means that we're going to strive to be good neighbors with all of those who live around us. Not just, well, that one house to other side is my neighbor and the rest of the people are just people on my block, and not that kind of a neighbor. Again, a neighbor, as we looked at last week, is anybody who's not you. That's everybody else. Means that we need to look to love family and friends and coworkers and classmates and other drivers and waiters and customer service reps and salespeople and everybody. Growing in love for others means that we will look to love them the way Christ does, that we will try and grow in loving others the way Christ does, meeting whatever need maybe God has put us in a position to meet, if we can. And we'll talk about that more next week, because when we talk about serving, so much of how we grow and love other people shows up in how we actually serve and reach out to other people. Might be helping with a physical need like transportation or assistance around the house or providing a meal, or maybe something like just lending a sympathetic ear or standing with someone as they go through a tough time. All of that is to be done in love, and as a reflection of the love with which we've all been loved by Christ. And what we find, I think, is that, and maybe you've experienced this, when you show that kind of love, you know, a love that maybe you're familiar with as, hey, that's the way people love in the church, that's just what we do for one another. When you show that kind of love to somebody outside of the church, somebody who doesn't believe in God, believe in Jesus, sometimes they're really not sure how to react to that. I mean, we do things in the church like, man, you had surgery or something? Let us line up a few meals. We can bring meals to your house or something to help you out for a few days. That's kind of just one of the things that churches do. You know, you need a ride to the doctor's office? Sure, we'll get somebody to give you a ride. Not a problem. You do that for somebody else, and they're like, why are you doing that? Why would you be so kind and treat me that way? You never know. That might open up a door of opportunity to tell them why. You know why? Because God loves me, and he wants me to love other people the way he loves me. And I'm just so amazed at the things God's done for me. I love doing things for other people. To just say, you know what? You're loved. I want to help. God may give you the opportunity to share the good news of his love, his offer of forgiveness and salvation with someone. And I'll tell you what, that's a great way to love someone, is to share with them a truth that matters for all eternity. By sharing God's offer of eternal life and forgiveness of sin through faith in Christ, there is no better way to love a person than to love them right into the kingdom of God. We need to seek to build and grow loving relationships with other people, especially those who need to hear about God's love for them. We are meant to be a growing church. We're meant to be growing Christians, upward and outward, growing in our relationship with God and growing in our love and relationships with others. So, are you growing? Are you growing in a loving relationship with God? Or are you seeking to grow and know him as well as he knows you? Get to know God through his word. Learn it and live it. Are you growing in a loving relationship with others? Are you seeking to grow in your relationship with other followers of Christ, learning, worshiping, fellowshipping together with one another? That's what we seek to do every Sunday that we gather, especially. That's what this time is especially for. And we can show up and not do that. We can be here physically, but not really be doing what we're supposed to be here to do. God designed us best to grow together, helping one another seek God and be accountable to Him. Are you growing in a loving relationship with the rest of the world? Are you seeking to build relationships with the people around you who may not be part of your church or part of any church for that matter? Get to know your neighbors. Get to know the people that you see from day to day. Try to get to know them just a little bit better. Build relationships with an eye toward letting them know that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. So let's do this together. Let's commit together to keep growing as followers of Christ, to seek to be that loving, growing, serving church family that I believe God desires for us to be. So commit yourself to keep growing as a Christian. Let's pray. God, this is, again, one of those things that doesn't take place necessarily automatically. You want us to grow as your followers, but we don't, or I guess we won't really grow to be everything you desire for us to be unless we participate in that growth and seek to do the things that you call us to do. God, help us to be firm in our commitment to want to keep growing, to seek you and to seek to know you more each and every day of the life you give us under the sun here. Help us be the people you want us to be, people you've designed us to be. And Lord, I pray all of it would be to your glory. We thank you so much for your amazing, amazing grace in our lives. Amen.